we say violence and the despair. We know that every life is sacred, no matter somebody's ethnic background or faith. And we must work together for freedom and safety for all, and real, true, peaceful existence, coexistence for every faith. I still remember my CD telling me the story of picking olives next to his Jewish neighbor. That's what I want. I don't want somebody being othered or seen as less than solely because they were born Palestinian. So I'm grateful for all of your voices in this movement. We know that many people around the world are with us, committed to ending the genocide in Gaza, apartheid in all parts of occupied Palestine, and recognizing humanity in every person.
That's Democratic Congressmember Rashida Tlaib of Michigan addressing the Jewish Voice for Peace National meeting in Baltimore. Over 2,000 people attended. That does it for our show. As we end the program, 20 years ago this month, Democracy Now! Published the first audio edition of our headlines in Spanish, Democracy Now! In Espanol. Those headlines are broadcast by hundreds of stations from the Americas to Europe and available as a podcast to this day. Today, we also translate our segment summaries, select transcripts, weekly column into Spanish, and produce Spanish language interviews. A huge shout out to our current Democracy Now! In Espanol team, Clara Ibarra, Igor Moreno, Ivan Incapié, and to Andres Conteras, who worked with us to launch Democracy Now! In Espanol 20 years ago. Special thanks to Maria Eva Blata, Veronica Gelman, Chuck Skirich. We hope you feel better. And all the interns who've contributed over the two decades. I'm Amy Goodman.
Hey, everybody. It's Greg McVicar, creator of Undercurrents. Glad you're listening. This is KBOO 90.7 Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hey there, relatives. We missed you, and I know you missed us. Rose City Native Radio is returning to the airwaves starting May 15th. Nick and I will be back in the saddle again to bring you all the Indigenous news, music, and more. So stay tuned, 90.7 FM, Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. That is 90.7 here in Portland. Today is Monday, the 12th of May, 2025. I am Cecil Prescott, and I am grateful that you have taken the time to participate in this morning forum. This is an opportunity for us to gather, to reflect together, to hear, to share, to come together as a community as we confront the challenges we face as a community and celebrate those opportunities we have to create a better place. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and I invite those of you who are interested to give us a call later on in the show to share your thoughts and your insights on a few topics we have for you this morning. I hope your weekend went well. To those who celebrated the holiday, I hope you had a good holiday. And to all people, wherever you are, hope that you find a place of safety and wholeness and health wherever you are. As you all know, we are living in some challenging times, and we are all called to do what we can when we can. If you had the opportunity to listen to Democracy Now!, which aired before this program aired live, you heard some continuing coverage of events that trouble all of us, the things that are happening in our society, in our nation, and indeed in our world, which is upsetting for justice and peace-loving people throughout. And week after week, we have the opportunity to gather here and share with one another. And I've been amazed by the wisdom that many of you have shared. I've been awed by the work that many of you are doing, the readings that you have suggested. And all that is happening to not fall asleep during this crazy, dangerous times we are living in. That people are standing up to do things where and where they can. And that's part of the opportunities I'm going to bring forth to you or suggest to you. What is it that you can do? I want to have you have the opportunity to listen to a reflection in a couple of minutes from a gentleman who was at a conference sponsored by Bishop Barber. Bishop Barber, William Barber, as many of you know, was a lead organizer for the Moral Monday protests in North Carolina a number of years ago, which allowed people to gather in front of North Carolina Capitol, and indeed in the Capitol building, to protest unjust legislations. Their protests led to arrest, but it also led to reform in the legislation and in the legislature. Many of you might be aware that William Barber continues his advocacy. He is a principal organizer for the Poor People's Campaign and Repairers of the Breach, organizing movements of people throughout the nation to confront injustice. In recent weeks, Bishop Barber's and other religious figures have taken their actions, I was going to say, to the Capitol. And unlike what we saw in January 6, 2021, where you had a mass of a army of violent protesters who destroy the Capitol and attack officers there, Bishop Barber's and other religious figures have entered into the Capitol, into the rotunda, to pray for a more just budget, pray for the wisdom of legislators. The Capitol Hill police have shut them down repeatedly over and over again by arresting them. And if you heard Democracy Now, a few minutes ago, you heard reflection of the overreach of some of the federal police force and as it played out in Newark and Mayor Baraka. But what can we do? What can you do? Well, let's listen to some reflections from a lawyer, but I think offer some wisdom to you. It's about a little, well, it's a good listen. So get your cup of beverage and listen. It's about 4 minutes, and let's hear what they have to say. Okay, let's go.
So mark a line, my dear friend.
So let me answer both of the two questions. The first is, why am I in this fight? In part, I'm in this fight because of Reverend Barber. Because the Moral Monday movement transformed my view of what the fight was and what it was capable of.
Yes.
As I reflect back now, the decision in Shelby County that Caitlin was talking about was a grave first step, but only a first step to destroying our democracy. We are on the precipice of losing our democracy. Each and every one of you will have to explain to your children and your grandchildren what you did at this moment in history when democracy was at stake. When I was getting bar mitzvahed, since the topic came up earlier, I had the opportunity to hear from a former U.S. soldier, a Jewish American who had been a prisoner of war in Nazi Germany. Now, understand, at this point, the Holocaust was closer in time. World War II was closer in time. These people seemed very old to me, but they were probably, frankly, my age. They were probably in their 50s at that point. And a gentleman came, and he told us that he had been born and raised in Brooklyn, and he had been drafted or enlisted in the army, and he had been captured by the Nazis and sent to a Stalag, like you see in the movies. So imagine you are an 18-year-old GI from New York City, and you find yourself in a prisoner of war camp where you are sorted by Jews and non-Jews. And he said that after some time, they were put in a work camp, and they were picking produce and processing goods for the German army, or so they assumed it was for the German army. And so he got this idea that he and a couple of other prisoners of war, Jewish prisoners of war, decided they'd execute, which is they would get little pieces of barbed wire from the fences. Now, this is the old-fashioned barbed wire, right? This is the pointy stuff, right? And they would press holes in the potatoes that they were picking and processing with the idea that the potatoes would rot and it would starve the German war effort. Now, I want you to imagine for a second, you are 18 years old, you are Jewish, you are held by Nazis in a Stalag prisoner of war camp, and you come up with the idea that you're going to win the war effort by taking barbed wire and pressing it against your bare skin until your fingers are all bloody. And in the process of it, you will poke holes in enough potatoes that they will rot and the Germans will starve and you'll win the war. I fight in court every day because I am poking holes in the potatoes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't know whether it will starve the war, the white supremacists and the Christian the white Christian nationalists and the vote suppressors and the election subversers. Like, I don't know whether it will do that, but what else am I going to do? I don't want to tell my children and my grandchildren that when democracy was at stake, when fascism was on the rise, when black voters were being systematically targeted, when young voters were being disenfranchised, when Latinos were having their voting rights taken away by racist legislatures, that I just thought, well, what could I do? What I could do is I could do the one thing I can do, which is I can speak out in the town square at every opportunity and say, this is not okay. And I could use my law degree at every turn to go to court to fight for free and fair elections. And it may not be enough, but that's what I can do. So that's why I'm in this fight. Now,
and that was Mark Elias, a lawyer who shared with us what he can do. Now, what can we do? What can we all do? We may not be lawyers and have the opportunity to argue in court. But as he suggested, wherever we are, just as that prisoner of war in the Nazi camp, gathered with those around and did what they could to try to stop the war effort by using what was around them, wherever they could. We're just trying to make a stop. It reminds me that all of us are called to do what we can, where we can, and none of us will be exempt, because we all are called, as Mark Elias reminded us, to do that which we can. It reminds me of something that happened 62 years ago, this month, May, And I think it also has some relevance to what Mark Eli said earlier. 62 years ago, many of us are familiar from our history books of the struggle in Birmingham to desegregate that city, and the efforts that it took and the work that it took. We are familiar with the old black and white TV cameras of police dogs attacking peaceful protesters and fire hose being used against protesters. But again and again, those people gathered because they wanted to struggle and they found something they could do. And now I'm going to share you an example, another example of finding what you can do where you can. Just as Mark Elias said that he is called to fight in court. And just as he gave the example of that prisoner of war person who was called to do what he could in that camp to make a difference. Reminded of in Birmingham in 1963, as we look at those black and white images and videos of those protests, let us not lose sight that every person was called to do something. And now I'm going to do something that I did in my Sunday school class yesterday. And you all are going to be my students. Now, I know that there is so much that is happening with the defunding of public radio from the feds. So even though public funding for PBS and Sesame Street and all those great Reading Rainbow may no longer be around, consider this as your chance to hear and read. So I'm reading Let the Children March by Monica Clark Robinson. They write, 1963, Birmingham, Alabama. I couldn't play on the same playground as the white kids. I couldn't go to their schools. I couldn't drink from their water fountains. There were many things I couldn't do. One warm spring night, my family went to church. We weren't there to have regular services. We were there to hear Dr. King speak. We were there to plan. He wanted to raise an army of peaceful protesters to fight for freedom. His brown eyes flashing fire and love, Dr. King told us the time had come to march. If I march, Mama said, I'll lose my job, sure enough. I can't march, Daddy said. I got a family to feed. The weight of the world rested on our parents' shoulders. But this burden, this time, did not have to be theirs to bear. I don't have a boss to fear, my brother said. Or a job to lose? We can march this time. We will be Dr. King's army, I said. I'll be fine, Daddy. I promise. Don't worry, Mama. Dr. King didn't like the children being put in harm's way. He was a daddy, too, after all. But he said that though we were young, we were not too young to want our freedom. Let the children march. They will lead the way. On May 2nd, a sunny Thursday, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, cousins and friends, we all met at the church, dressed in our best, feet ready. In a silence so loud that all I could hear was my racing heart, we began to walk. Hand in hand we marched, so frightened, yet certain of what was right for freedom. The path may be long and troubled, but I'm going to walk on. Would I be heard? Would we be heard? Would it all be worth it in the end? I wanted to run from the angry faces in the crowd, run from danger, run from fear. Boys and girls, brothers and sisters, cousins and friends, on and on we march. We march. We march. Singing the songs of freedom, 1,000 strong we came. Hate dogged my feet, my heels all that day. Its yellow canine teeth sharp. But courage walked by my side and kept me going. Disperse or you'll be jailed, the police shouted the first day. Disperse or you'll get wet, the police shouted the second day. Disperse or we will release the dogs, the police shouted the third day. We did not disperse. We kept on marching. We wouldn't stop until things started to change. Hundreds of us went to jail on the first day, and even more on the second. My turn wasn't until the third day. After I was sprayed by water stronger than anything I've felt, rough hands pushed me forward, and I fell to my knees in the police wagons. I was going to jail. Dr. King reassured our parents. Don't worry about your children, he said. They're going to be all right. Don't hold them back if they want to go to jail. They are doing a job for not only themselves, but for all of America and for all humankind. That night, crowded into a cell too small for even half the children, we sang, "We Shall Overcome." Ain't gonna let nobody turn me down. And freedom is coming. Our parents couldn't be there, but still we sang, wrapped in the proud and loving arms of our ancestors. I was still in jail, but we heard that the next day and the next, more kids marched. The water hoses they used to sting us could not stop our fierce tide. The path may be long and troubled, but I'm going to walk on. Turn the other cheek, we've been taught, show love where there is hate. The world watched as hate bruised us, but for 7 days we walked only in love. The jail swelled to bursting, and even President Kennedy took notice. Daddy said the president received letters and calls about us from all over the world. Our march would become a memory, a small part of a larger story. But we had been heard, and the seeds of revolutions were sown. 2 days and nights I stayed in the jail. Some stayed even longer. When I left, I was tired and sore, and my best dress was ripped, but my smile was as wide as the Mississippi River. I had made a difference. I'm so proud of you, baby girl, Mama said. Your march was what made them see. With nothing more than our feet, voices, and courage, we had done what others could not. Change was right around the corner. We felt it like a cool breeze in an Alabama August. On May 10th, the great news rang out. Dr. King had reached an agreement with the white leaders of the city. Desegregation would begin. 1 month later, I was playing on a playground that I've never been allowed to play on before. 2 months later, my family ate at a diner we'd never been allowed to eat in before. Our march made a difference. We children led the way, singing the songs of freedom. 1,000 strong, we came. And that was Let the Children March by Monica Clark Robinson. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. I am Cecil Prescott. And our theme today, what can you do to make a difference? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We heard from Mark Elias, who spoke about the things that he is doing in the courthouse, and he referenced a prisoner of war from Nazi concentration camps who did what they could do. And I read a children's book by Monica Clark Robinson, which talked about Let the Children March in March 1963 in Birmingham. Before we go to our call, and while that story ends with the children march and the desegregation, we know that the struggle continued, and that a few months later was the March on Washington. And shortly after the March on Washington, four black girls were killed when a bomb was blasted in their church on Sunday morning. The work continues. You're listening to More Talk Radio, and we'll go to our caller. Santiago, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you, people?
I'm well. So what are you doing to make change? What small part are you doing?
Well, what I'm doing right now is I'm doing some work through the Musicians Union, getting musicians organized against the venues, but I mean, in a larger sense, helping get them educated in the understanding that the system we are currently under does not benefit us at all, and that, you know, like I continually say, you know, the only meaningful change that has been made in this country has been made by people who are willing to get out there and put their blood, sweat, tears, and even lives on the line for the minuscule things that we have. And that's my biggest thing right now, mm-hmm. aside from just doing some education stuff for communist education over the airwaves. You know, I'm actually going to be doing a radio zine on Wednesday at KBOO. So I don't have a whole lot that I can do outside of making music and educating people that I can really do at the moment. But I mean,
hey,
things can change.
That's right.
You know,
and that's important work. Hey. Musicians unions.
I wanted to point out, you know, that story that you read. You know, I think the one thing that, you know, reflecting on the civil rights movement that it had at the time that we lack right now is, you know, we were creating dual power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is something that a lot of these, even in terms of the Bernie and AOC fight oligarchy tour, you know, they're not discussing dual power. You know, the idea that we build a parallel power system alongside the one that oppresses us in order to benefit us and to benefit the oppressed and to use it as a means to put pressure on the system itself, because black and brown communities back in that time, you know, they didn't have the benefit of I wouldn't even say like we're really accepted now, as much as it's more like tactical participation on behalf of the oppressor,
yes.
This white supremacist system we live in. You know, so there wasn't this expectation necessarily that we were going to be listened to, but more that like we had to make our a statement some way somehow. And I think that what we're experiencing right now is that we've had 60 years of capitalist propaganda and whitewashing of civil rights movements, that somehow that just getting out in the streets and protesting is going to get this administration to hear us. When, you know, like Kwame Ture said, he talked about, peaceful protesting in the sense that, the peaceful protest only works if the oppressor has a conscience, and America has none. You know, the lessons learned of that time. And and on top of that, there was a greater movement that backed up all of this stuff.
I think among the points that you're making that I think is important is, one, there are a diversity of things that people can do and tactics, and also I'd like the idea, what you mentioned in terms of dual power developing. And I think what I gain from you today is that we can find our niche or what we are called to do. And I want to encourage people, wherever they are, that there's something that they can do to make a difference. And certainly we cannot do it all, but I also want to commend and encourage people, wherever they are, to stand up and make a difference. And I appreciate you, and we will look forward to your radio zine on KB is coming up. Hey, thank you. We have some other callers I need to get to, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Stephen.
And you're listening into More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. I began this morning by sharing remarks by a lawyer, Mark Elias, who talked about what he can do. I also read a children's book about the children's march in Birmingham in 1963, 62 years ago this month. Everyone can make a difference. Let's hear from our next caller. Teresa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Cecil. How are you today?
I am well. Yeah, it's early enough in the morning that everything's okay so far.
Well, I love what you're talking about this morning and bringing in the power of music. I think you read it in the book, and Santiago talked about it, and Amy Goodman talked about it just before you guys. She mentioned the Estonian singing revolution in 1991, where Estonia overthrew their oppressive government through people coming together and singing patriotic songs, which were banned by that government.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
And that reminds me of the civil rights movement and how the power of song was enormous, played an enormous role in uplifting all of the people who were protesting oppression.
Hey, that since you brought that up, someone a couple of days ago observed that they think that we don't sing enough in our movements nowadays, that we don't have enough songs. And you're saying that that's so important, correct? Music?
I'm saying that that's crucial. And if you look at the film Amandla, that talks about the role of song in South Africa.
Yes.
When the people stood up to overthrow apartheid, it was a huge part of that revolution.
Yeah.
So what are we waiting for, Cecil? We got to go. We got to get out there and sing.
We got to get out there and sing. And certainly the artists are part of this movement. So not only singing art, visible art and paintings and all of that is a part of it. So you lead a singing. I'll sing from the back because my voice isn't very good. But yeah, we need to sing.
Well, I'm a bass player, so I'll support all the singers.
All right.
Best I can. And we'll bring out our drums and we'll make it happen. I think the Portland marches have been great, but very quiet in many ways, other than chanting.
Right.
If you've got a little melody in there, we'd be really powerful.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's get the music people involved. Yay. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
And you too.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. We're talking about what we can do to make a difference. Now, you may not be a lawyer, but you may be able to play a flute. Hey, and music is important. Numbers are 503-231-8187. And let's go to Tangent. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Cecil?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
It's getting better all the time.
Okay, there's some music.
That's for a song. Hey, Kim. I was saying what I do is I play with acronyms. And so I have a new department for us. It's the Department of President Efficiency.
Okay, President?
Dope.
Okay. Okay, Department of President. Okay, I gotcha. All right.
Acronyms. All right, hey, here's one more.
Yeah.
Now the news is... never-ending war somewhere.
Okay. Never-ending. Never.
But I called about, I want to talk, so the other thing I'm working at all the time is language, and I'm working on this word that people talk about fighting for rights or fighting for freedom or fighting for peace, and it sounds dumb. And I would like to substitute the word work. I'm working for peace. Okay, can you fight for peace? Then isn't that simple another war? Mm-hmm. I'm sure the military says that they're fighting for peace. They think they have to get through, through war.
Well, that's a good observation. Usually, I say struggle rather than.
But working. We all work. Now, work can be a struggle, but I happen to be a landscaper and run my own business, so I enjoy it more than maybe some, but it's still, it can be a struggle sometimes, but I really enjoy it, so it's a lot of joy most of the time.
Okay.
But you see,
And I think that's related to.
Let's work, but have somebody else probably have some other words. And that's one way that that's one thing we can do. And we speak every day. Okay?
I think you raised an important point, and I think it's important to be careful, or not careful, be aware of our language. So thank you for encouraging us to work for justice.
And that careful word, I met a gentleman at a rainbow gathering back in the late 70s.
Okay, Dan.
He had this little symbol, this medallion around his neck, and it looked like those three S's.
Hold on, tangent. We have another caller online, and I need to get to that caller. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for reminding us of the importance of just being where we are and doing what we can. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We've been speaking this morning of all the things that people can do to make a difference, whether it is participating in a march, playing a flute, working with children. All of it is making a difference. What are you doing? Let's go to our next caller. Mark, how are you? Thank you for waiting.
Thank you, Cecil. My dream is that all people shall be reporters. We shall overcome. There was a very good piece of news this morning from Reuters that the U.S. and China have reached an agreement reducing the tariffs to 30%. From 145% or even 245% to 30%. And this means that a permanent global recession or depression is averted,
well,
at least for the time being.
We'll see.
Now, there's so much in consumerism and in our distorted history that makes us depressed, that makes us negative. So we have to rejoice that this downward global depression is averted.
Well, wait, hold on 1 second, because it just occurred to me that this disagreement, which we haven't seen the details yet,
right,
is averted. This economic catastrophe that is avoided, but how did it become a problem?
Well,
it became an issue, I think, because the president created this crisis, he closed
world trade,
right,
with the tariffs on the world, tariffs on, and only one China ship was scheduled for the month of May for Seattle.
My question to you is, okay, we avoided this, but it could have been avoided by not creating it from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
The autocrat only sees history as a self-glorification.
I see.
Now, so the Nazi surrender on May 8th didn't fit his pattern.
Okay. Well, interesting. We'll see what happens next, and whether this deal with China sticks, and whether or not the tariff have been avoided. Thank you, Mark, for calling and for your viewpoints. You are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We have another caller online. We're speaking this morning about what you are doing to make a difference. What way are you making a difference? Janet.
Good morning.
Yes. So, what are
kind of like a lot of smoke and mirrors, but people are getting gaslit with so many talking points. And so it's hard for critical thinking to get like really centered and focused on the categorical imperative about how we should be living our lives, when the tendency, like it's called the defensive aggressive mind, then people are so overwhelmingly insecure and frustrated, mm-hmm, with everything that's going on, that they tend, even myself, being like from a New York Jew with a tendency towards maybe a little bit of a sharp tongue as a response, that to take it down a notch and be an anchor and to be able to give an encouraging word to people, mm, that are even from way off far into some bizarre ideology that they've been ratcheting up really aggressive talking points and really harsh reactions to not being calm and steady, that the system, like you bring it up, is like so like been ratcheted up with nothing for people. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't really know, but to give a encouraging word to people who are dealing with, yeah, Medicare cutbacks and, right, every other bizarre kind of machination, with other people thinking that's really great stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't know that we're so far afield from having our natural inclinations. And I don't know, I've been recently reading that old book from the 70s, The Women Who Run with the Wolves, that we could actually ground ourselves and get an instinctual comfort with where we're coming from, and not be like taken asunder far, far off into this what they call stable instability, that we can be stable enough to deal with instability everywhere.
Okay.
It's a very difficult toolbox to try to put together right now, but thanks so much. I think chatting about this is very helpful.
I think so. Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to chat and to have a conversation with people to hear them. I appreciate what you're doing. I think that's important. Thank you so much, Janet. It is so important for us to hear and to listen. And sometimes when What's called for is a calming voice in these troubled times. Thank you, Janet. And next up is Edie, which I believe has some suggestions of what we can do. Good morning, Edie.
Hello. On Monday through Thursday, about every week, people can be in a Zoom meeting with Jewish Voice for Peace across the country. I mean, it'll be 12 to 12:30 Pacific time. Mm-hmm. And they will give us information, song, poetry, news update, and specific ways to do a call-in or email to decision makers on how to end the genocide in Palestine and redirect our funds to life and justice and democracy. And tonight, from at 6 p.m. at the University of Portland, at the Buckley Center Auditorium, that's 5000 mm-hmm. North Willamette Boulevard, there will be a rally against Zenith oil bomb trains and ship terminal. And then there'll be a public hearing with Department of Environmental Quality about an air permit we want them to deny. Please wear red. They will have pizza there. Please wear red and sign up to testify in person or just be there showing a huge number of people in red. And you can go to Columbia Riverkeeper, that is Columbia Riverkeeper, and look at the Zenith Air Permit talking points and give you some background on that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I want us to be aware of is that Zenith has been repeatedly breaking the law and lying and having corruption, and we need to have our city stop being complicit with that, because those oil bomb trains going along the Columbia River, Washington and Oregon side, and going through southeast Portland and down along the Columbia or the Highway 30, mm-hmm. Near the Lloyd Center, Providence Hospital, I think, that can cause miles on either side,
yes.
And the mile-long train of fire and toxic gases and fumes and destruction of the rails, the highways, the roads, the electrical system. And once you get the gas lines disrupted or exploded or leaking or on fire, that will be miles of residential and commercial public properties and land being destroyed.
Indeed.
And if once they have a fire from oil bomb train, there has never been invented a way to put out the fire, but after several days of burning the toxic fumes, they put a foam on it called forever chemicals. And when those were used generations ago, we now have the great-grandchildren of the firefighters and the people in those areas that have birth defects and have ongoing disabilities from forever chemicals.
So let me ask you to repeat again the time of this event this evening.
6 p.m. today, University of Portland at 5000 North Willamette Boulevard in the Buckley Center Auditorium. Wear red. You can you cannot bring signs or be disruptive other than 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. But just wear red, show up quietly or whatever in the auditorium in opposition to DEQ giving a permit for them to pollute our air.
Thank
and
you.
Create all these other problems.
Thank you. And you began by mentioning about the daily Jewish Voice for Peace Zoom gathering.
That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of almost every week, mm-hmm. a Zoom meeting. And it's wonderful because it helps you be with people who also have a conscience and caring and heart,
yes.
and mind. And they will affirm your grief, your fear, your anger, whatever. You're not alone, and you'll get information. You'll have something constructive and positive to do during that half hour, power half hour, and to follow up on and to spread that information to others, as well as having inspiring music and to grieve or to work and commit in solidarity with others for a healing of our world.
And I've on a number of occasions have participated in those meetings, and I affirm what you'd say. How do people sign up for that? Maybe just Google Jewish Voice for Peace. I don't have it in front
of me. You can go to Jewish Voice for Peace at the national level, and you can sign up for those Zoom meetings. You could also go to JVP, Jewish Voice for Peace, PDX, Portland, and sign up for an orientation meeting, a training meeting, and participate that way, giving your money at the national level or at the local level or both. But you don't have to pay anything to participate in the Zoom meetings.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you for those great suggestions of things that people can do, and that's so important. I appreciate what you're doing, Edie, and thank you for informing the community. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil, and we have the opportunity to share things that we are doing and where we can make a difference. And let's go to our next caller, and we'll Miss Jen. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Prescott. I have a couple of little things I want to say about what I heard earlier this morning, and regarding the song when you spoke about Mr. Barber. I think we have a lot of songs out there we could use, and let me just give a suggestion. The song called Glory by Common and John Legend.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be excellent. Also, I have Bob Marley's entire body of work, and there are so many songs that the public has never heard that can be used.
Yes.
As well as Tracy Chapman. I have her entire body of work musical, and there are songs there that can also be used that are elevating, inspiring, and that have passion and fire. Now, the other reason I called, I listen to Amy Goodman every morning. I have been listening to her for years. And I want to say something about why I don't hear people talking about the mother of all Holocaust.
Well, let me ask you a question, because you began by, you know, talking about the songs we would that people may sing. So I appreciate that. And could you also say, before you talk about the topic you were going to talk about, what are things that you are doing that make a difference?
Oh, my goodness. I've been making a difference for over 40 years. My main battlefield is domestic violence. The one thing I cannot and will not tolerate is violence against girls, females, women, okay?
Yes.
And since I'm on the subject, since you put me on this subject, I want to let you know that the most danger to women comes from Christian heterosexual men in America. I've helped change federal laws to protect women, and I've helped change state laws when I lived in California.
Oh, amazing.
So I used to write for 6 newspapers, so I educated and informed the public, much like what Santiago is doing.
Yes.
I really admire that young man for sharing the books he's read. And most of the books he's read, I've read them myself, because I used to have a bookstore also.
Yes. Yeah.
So
well, thank you.
I'm writing a book of poetry.
Oh, okay.
And I want to inform people on the book of Revelation through poetry. because okay. I won a few poetry awards also.
Okay, well,
I
want you to pause because you made a couple of points. I want to make sure that people heard. You talked about your work with domestic violence, and that's so important. So thank you for that work over the years. And thank you for being a poet and have the opportunity to share your talent, your voice with others. Those are so valuable things that you are doing. And I think what I wanted this morning was to hear what people are doing. I'm going to have to pause you because we have another caller online, but I appreciate the two things you said, the two things that you were able to say this morning, and maybe we can continue our conversation next time, but we're short on time. So thank you, Ms. Jan, for calling this morning. And we'll go to our next caller, Paul, who has something to share with us about how to make a difference in what they're doing. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, Cecil. Thank you. I just tuned into your show. I listen to it not regularly, but often. I sure appreciate it. Appreciate you. I suggest what I've participated in, and it helps me as much as any help I'm doing, is Food Not Bombs, like a community buffet.
Yes.
Where you don't have to, or not buffet, potluck.
Yes.
Buffet where you don't have to bring anything, but there's always something to eat, you know, if you show up on time.
Yes.
But there's so many other places that do that sort of thing, and I highly recommend people participating. You know, it's a very well, not just food, but it's a welcoming space for everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Anybody can show up. There's different classes, different everything, different everybody. A lot of people bring their well-behaved dogs, you know.
Okay.
You know, it's a fellowship community type of place, right?
Amazing. Great. And where does this happen, or how do people participate?
Well, this one's in Buckman, but there's, you know, websites for different places where people gather food.
Right, yeah.
They always need food.
Food, yeah, and building community. So that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So thank you, Cecil. You do so much. You're my favorite to listen to.
Thank you.
You know, you're great topics, so calm. So just thank you very much.
Thank you for your nice words. And you are listening to More Talk Radio, and that our last caller, Paul, was reminding us of Food Not Bombs. Those are opportunities throughout the communities, throughout many communities, where people gather a time to build community, to eat, and to make sure that people are fed. Those are important things. We've heard so many recommendations and so many actions that people are doing, whether it's Food Not Bomb, whether it's education, whether it's writing poetry, whether it is creating art, building unions. There are many things that people are doing to make a difference. So you may not be marginalized and be able to go into the courthouse and say that we need to put a stop to this crazy policy. But what you can do is what only you can do, and that is raise your voice wherever you can to make a difference. That may be speaking to your neighbor, it may be helping that person down the street figure out how to get medical insurance. It may mean teaching young children. There are thousands of different ways, but all of these are things that we can do to make a difference. We began this morning by listening to a talk by Mark Elias, who talked about a prisoner of war and how in their terrible situation said there's something we can do. Maybe we can stop this war machine by our little effort. And so what I encourage all of us to look around, to see our community surrounding us, and say, what is it that I can do? Why am I able? How can I use my voice, my influence? And there's things only you can do. And that's amazing. So thank you for being you and for listening to your voice. Thank you all for struggling to make a world more peaceful, more just, more loving, a world with less war, where oppression and genocide is a thing of the past. There's so much work to do, but be encouraged. There are so many people engaged in this work with us. And so, my friends, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. As those young children in Birmingham 62 years ago said, we will march, we will use our voices and our feet. We can make a difference. Thank you all for being a part of this radio program. Stay tuned, be safe, continue to build community. You've been listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you, Ray, for being our engineer. Stay tuned for more radio, and I will speak to you next time.
Listening to KBOO Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on your Portland dial, KBOO.FM on your everywhere on earth internet dial. Stay safe, stay sane, stay tuned. KBOO.